Good morning, diners and travelers. You're listening to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. And today is a very special day because it's guess whose birthday. Happy birthday, Rabbit.
There we go. You're not going to sing, I hope.
Mommy, no.
Mommy, don't sing, right? Seriously, folks. Anyway, we're concluding our coverage of Spain with a different take. We were at Gastronomica, lots and lots of fancy chefs with fancy restaurants. And we're always in search of something that's good, but that's interesting and that's different. And there are plenty of, it turns out, there are plenty of opportunities for that in Spain, and we found three of them, and we're bringing them for you today. And they're a tradition of ancient and modern, if you like, traditional and contemporary.
A blend of different opportunities and options,
People in charge of kitchens who are the latest members of a family or someone who just had a passion to open his own restaurant and did that successfully. So three in a row. First up, 15 miles outside the city of Bilbao, a restaurant in the community of André Marie, called André Marie, with a sister restaurant close by. Run by the Sua
Andra
family.
André Marie is like Virgin Mary.
Right,
and
right.
It's the name of the district and the church. Yeah.
Right. So this restaurant's been in the same family since 1964. And
we'll find that there are two restaurants.
The second one was founded only 25 years ago.
Yeah.
A fascinating story. Here's right. Roberto and Maria Sua.
We were having a perfectly lovely time in Basque country. I am having a particularly difficult time with the pronunciations, but bear with me because we have the very capable Maria Asua and her cousin, Roberta Asua, who will correct me with my pronunciation. We are in Galdakao, which is Basque country, as I said, and we have had one excellent meal and for lunch yesterday, and we'll be having another excellent meal for dinner. And our translator is the wonderful Maria Asua, and also our host is Roberta Asua, who oversees this family operation. Let's start with just defining the names of the two restaurants and the meaning of the names.
Okay, Arizondo is one of the two restaurants of our family, and it's a name, a Basque name, which is compound of two nouns different. One is Aretz, which means oak in Basque language, and the other one is Ondo, which means near. So the whole name means near the oak. And André Marie restaurant takes its name from the church, which is just opposite the restaurant, which is an ancient church, and the name André Marie means like what we in Spanish would say Santa Maria, and in English Mary the Saint.
Now, Roberto, you are surrounded with a great deal of history here. Could you tell us a little bit about how your family started these restaurants? First, the one that we're in right now, the André Marie, and then afterwards, your second restaurant.
Que era una zona rural, era una zona totalmente rural, y entonces, en lo que era la cuadra del caserío, habilitaron un merendero para la gente que subía a esta zona, pues a pasar las tardes o los fines de semana al lado de la iglesia, porque era una zona rural y muy, pues con mucho encanto. Entonces, eso estamos hablando de los años 50. Cuando se vio que tenía éxito ese merendero, la familia, cinco hermanos, con sus respectivas mujeres, decidieron edificar en lo que es el caserío, en las huertas del caserío, un edificio destinado a restaurante con las viviendas arriba. Y esto fue en el año 1964. El restaurante desde el principio funcionó pues muy bien, tuvo mucho éxito, y pero se vio que no podía acoger a las personas que se querían casar en André Marie. Comedores eran pequeños y Los comedores eran pequeños, entonces no había espacio suficiente para celebrar las bodas. Entonces se decidió edificar otro caserío con materiales también de caseríos muy antiguos y se construyó en 1989 Arechondo.
Okay. The history of Andra Mari restaurant started with our friends, both Roberto, my father, come from a family of five sisters and brothers, and their parents lived just opposite what is now Andra Mari restaurant. In a little cottage, and in 1950 or so, they started to put some of the rooms of this cottage were transformed into a little restaurant, kind of a selling food place. And then there was the custom, there was the people started to come from the villages and around to this place to have a rest, to have a dinner and to have fine moments, no? The years went on, and then decided to start to build another restaurant, another building, which was focused on being a restaurant itself. And then was when Andra Mari restaurant was built in 1964. The sons and brothers of my grandparents started to take on this restaurant. And the thing is that this restaurant consists of some dining rooms, but they were not big enough to serve celebrations, big events, and that's why 25 years ago they decided to build another bigger restaurant, which is Arechondo.
When you're in these restaurants, you feel as though you're in old spaces because the decor is like earlier periods, and also some of the decorative elements are actually rescued from old buildings. It's amazing the feeling you have. We're sitting in a room that looks like a special outbuilding in a country house where they kept the kitchen tools and supplies, pantry items. So it's really amazing. One very special feature of this restaurant that we're in is the magnificent wine cellar. Roberto, talk to us about your wonderful wine cellar and the different rooms you have available for people for private parties.
Okay. La bodega se construyó en la planta baja del restaurante, aprovechando materiales de caseríos antiguos de la zona y con la colaboración de cinco de las bodegas principales de La Rioja. Eran cinco bodegas históricas de Haro, que es la capital de La Rioja, y las propias bodegas nos ayudaron un poco a hacer la decoración. Entonces, en esa bodega museo, por llamar de alguna manera, se exponen pues los vinos más característicos de estas cinco bodegas y materiales que se utilizaban en el siglo XIX en la elaboración del vino. Juntamente a la exposición de las bodegas tenemos dos comedores privados con materiales y con mobiliario de caseríos muy antiguos, como es el chisilu, las arcas y otra serie de mobiliario antiguo.
Two cellars Andra Mari's got are built in the basement. There are two different cellars with five of the most representative cellars in La Rioja. In fact, these cellars helped us to construct. They gave us their ancient tools to decorate, in order to decorate our cellars. Just opposite these two cellars, there are two private dining rooms with elements, decorative elements from ancient cottages, like one of them which called Chichilu, and it's composed of tables, very ancient tables typical from this this cottage.
And there are many wonderful spaces outside as well, very attractive terraces for dining. It's a lovely environment with gorgeous vistas.
I found two things about the wine cellar very interesting, and I want to ask Roberta to comment. First of all, I don't think I've ever seen a wine cellar where the red wines and the white wines are in different cellars. It's as if they don't get along, which I'm sure they really do. And the other thing was that you built a way for the coolness and the humidity naturally to get into the wine cellar, so that the temperature that you want is maintained without having to air condition.
Sí, la propia ubicación de la bodega nos permite que no sea necesaria la utilización de aire acondicionado para mantener el vino, porque está construida sobre el monte. Entonces, con las propias filtraciones de agua, en cuanto llueve, se recoge esa humedad en una piedra muy antigua, y esto nos permite que haya una humedad y una temperatura constante durante todo el año. Y por otra parte, el tener el vino en dos bodegas diferentes, en una los tintos y en otra los blancos, pues nos es meramente para organizarnos mejor a la hora de controlar los vinos.
The location of the cellars, of both cellars in Andramari, helps us with the preservation of the wines. Why? Because they are in the basement, and in some way they are carved into the earth, so that it gets the dampness and the temperatures the whole time the same. It doesn't change too much from winter to summer. This allows us not to use elements like air condition and elements of this kind that could. With regards of the organization of the wines, white and red wines, it's just the way we distribute. We distribute these designations and these types of wines. It doesn't depend of the where they are situated or no. It's just to separate the white wines in one cellar, the red wines in another cellar.
Now, Maria, we had lunch yesterday together at the. Tell me the name of this restaurant again.
Aretondo.
Now, the cuisine, as I understand it, from both restaurants, is authentic Basque cuisine, traditional. Is that right?
Yes. We have got one philosophy. There is a very much tradition in Basque country with cuisine. And we use this tradition, and we use the local products typical from Basque country, and we use them in their own season. And our philosophy is to follow this tendency of making working with local we call local products. but with a creative tendency of vanguardist elements, some vanguardist elements as well.
Now, I'm not sure who cooks at these restaurants. Yesterday, who was the chef?
Guillermo Revillas is the chef of Arezzondo restaurant.
Could you just describe a couple of the items we had? I mean, the langoustine, the lobster. I mean, they were wonderful things. Could you tell us, describe some of what we ate?
Yes. Yesterday we started our lunch with an aperitif of pumpkin cream. It was followed by a lobster salad, and afterwards we had crawfishes, which were crunchy because they were dumped into a rice kind of crunchy rice, yes. And afterwards we had salted boletus, mushrooms, typical from here. And it's just right now has started the season for these mushrooms. There are two seasons for boletus, and one is in spring and the other one is now in autumn. It's just started. And it's more important in autumn because after the summer there is less dampness, and the mushroom itself takes gets more tasty than in the spring, which is much more rain and has got no, it's not so tasty. Afterwards, we had an entrecote. And which is from Eusko Label cattle. Eusko Label is a sign that requires some things that the cottage men must follow in order to gain this sign. The food, they have to be natural cottages, and they have some requirements in order to reach this mark, trademark. And also we had a salt cod sample, which was salt cod with pilpil sauce, which we call pilpil sauce. It is a typical salt cod style here in Basque Country, and it is cooked by shaking the cod. You mix with oil, and by shaking you get a thick sauce because of the jelly of the cod itself, mixed with the oil. And the other salted cod was garnished with what we call Biscayne sauce, which is a sauce made of red pepper.
Maybe we should ask this question of Roberto, is what are we going to eat tonight? Can you tell us something you'd recommend?
Tonight we will have a dinner which will consist of, as starters, we have sardines, marinated sardines, on cucumber soup with melon dices and mint. The marinated sardines are very typical, more than the fish itself, the treatment, the technique of cooking it, because it the marination comes from ancient ages in the Basque Country, when sailors and had to preserve their fish in oil and salt. They salted their fish and they're mixed with oil in order to preserve. This dish we are going to start with is based on this technique, And it is a very tasty dish, and it will be softened a little bit with a bit of refreshment. We will give the melon dices. The second dish we will try will be marinated tuna with tomato crumbs and spring onion cream. This dish is as well as the first one, as the sardines, follow the same technique of mixing with oil and salt. Afterwards, we will have mushrooms on potato cream and egg ravioli. Mushrooms, we have chosen mushrooms because we are in autumn season, and it's a fine moment to have mushrooms. Then we will have a salt cod stew with potato cream and egg foam. Again, we have another fish, which is so typical from the Basque Country. And I won't go on explaining this plate because it's also fish, and we have had some introduction to the fish dishes. And afterwards, we will have chicken with pistachio crust and leek cream. This chicken is also fed with corn, and it has the same as I have explained before with the cattle. There is one trademark for cattle. We have a trademark also for chicken. It is called lumagorri, and this kind of chicken has to be for 81 days alive. They can't be killed before 81 days of being alive. they live in freedom around the cottages, which are not inside. And they feed them with most of the 8% of their food consists of corn. Okay? Acorn, sorry. Yes. For desserts, we will have pineapple with ginger ice cream, which will be a bit refreshment for us after this meal. And we will end with a chocolate and orange bonbon, caramel ice cream. Caramel ice cream, and spices.
And as I was looking from the terrace when we arrived this evening, I said, "Roberto, what's that ugly building over in the distance?" He said, "It's the hospital, and they're a very good customer." And I have a feeling they might be having two very, very good customers sometime after dinner tonight. Now, let's not give you the impression, too much of an impression, that this is an out-of-the-way place, because if you know the way to come is 15 to 20 minutes from the Bilbao airport, the same time from the city of Bilbao, about twice that time from Donostia, San Sebastian. It's easy to reach on the train. I won't even begin to name the train company, but it's Euskotren or something like that. And clearly, diners from around the world have been here. We were here yesterday for lunch, and we asked, and the answer was most of the patrons are from close to here. But there were some Frenchmen here within the last several years. Because not only is this a beautiful restaurant with beautiful food, it's also a Michelin-starred restaurant. When that happened, Roberto, what did that feel like? The only question was, what did it feel like when Michelin notified you they were including you in their guide with one star?
La estrella Michelin nos dieron en 1983. Y en 1983 yo todavía Estaba estudiando. Yo no soy cocinero, yo estudié Derecho y en ese momento estaba estudiando Derecho. Pero para nuestra familia fue un gran orgullo y fue también un reto mantener la estrella Michelin durante tantos años, desde 1983 hasta ahora.
Well, the fact is that when Michelin star came to Andrea Mario restaurant, Roberto was a student. He still hadn't started to work in the restaurant. He was studying lawyer, and then it was in 1983. And apart from that, the feeling was a feeling of proudness and a big challenge in order to maintain so many years this Michelin star. A hard task to do.
Well, the other thing to mention, listeners, when you come here, you're going to find very warm hospitality, and these hosts will take care of you in a very fine way. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. If only Ricardo and Marianne from the other restaurant could be here tonight, but they're working to a full house down there, I'm sure.
Yes, they are working at the moment, and this is good for everybody to be working.
And don't go away, because we'll be right back.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Welcome back. Well, another promise we made to ourselves was we were going to make the pilgrimage to Santiago de Compostela. Well, I mean, we didn't do it the old-fashioned way, but we did make it.
We did, and it's a long way, even by wheeled vehicle, it's a long way.
It really is. I can't imagine anybody walking that.
But if they got there, you can be sure they would be hungry, so they would be looking for a place like Ocura de Para, which we found, which is recommended as probably the best restaurant in Santiago de Compostela. A little bit hard to find, but we managed that. And thanks to the wonders of email, between one day and the next, we were able to make arrangements to have lunch and an interview with the owner, Sergio Arias. And he's going to explain the name of the restaurant and the concept and all that. So here he is.
This is serendipitous that we found this restaurant where we just had a most lovely lunch. The restaurant is called Ocura da Para. Ah, that's not a good pronunciation, but I'm going to hand the microphone to the owner, chef owner, to both pronounce his name, which is, in my mind, Sergio Arias, but he's going to say it properly, and also the name of the restaurant. Welcome, Sergio.
Thank you very much. Hello. Good afternoon. Hello, everybody. We are in, we are in Ocurro da Parra restaurant, okay, a very small local restaurant in Santiago de Compostela, okay, in the heart of the old town, we can say, okay, just 5 minutes from the, 5 minutes walking from the cathedral, from the Apostles Market, where we take most of our staff, okay, 90% of our staff, okay. So what else we can say? We start here two young guys, okay, with all our dreams, no, we can say, Adrian and me, Sergio, okay.
And this is 4 years you've been in this venture, Sergio, but you have an interesting background. You are native to this area, but you also went to culinary school, and you also worked in London, and your presentations and your recipes are very, very au courant, very modern.
We study here in Santiago, no? After, well, as all young people, you always need to go around, okay? Walk around the world and have a look at something different, no? So after studies, I decided to go to London, okay, have an experience. And I start working in Spanish restaurants mainly. And in one of them, I met my partner, no, who is now my partner, Adrian. Okay, so well, we were working in London like 5 years, 6 years, and then we came back to Galicia more or less in the same time, okay, 2010. At the end of the 2010, we decided to set up our own business, no, our own restaurant, and try to show what we learn around the world, mainly in London.
Now, was this building already a restaurant, or did you begin from scratch?
Okay, so now we are since already 4 years that we are here in Santiago. We try to work with local staff, no, because we think in Galicia we always have been a very good staff, no? From the sea and from the country, no, meat and fish, but. And vegetables, of course, we have a very good fields, no? But the thing is, maybe that sometimes we don't know, or we didn't know how to sell it, no? We're not Italian people, no? The best of this country, no? Of Galicia. We try to sell the best of Galicia, just with a contemporary touch, we can say, yeah? Okay, so we try to do 100% Galician cuisine, but just with funny.
This building is charming. You said it is 19th century, and I can see the old fireplace where they did the cooking, which is now your dining room, and the wonderful old stone sink. Was this a restaurant when you took it over as your restaurant, or was it still a house?
It was a house. Our landlord, he set up the kitchen. He started like building a restaurant, okay? He wanted, or he already knew, know that he wanted to have a restaurant here, no? So we came here, we changed a lot of things, no? But we try to always to keep the soul, you know, we can say the soul of the place, no? Of the house, okay? So stone walls, typical from Galicia. From here, we try to build the restaurant. No?
You told me a very wonderful story about the name of this restaurant. Explain why it is called, and give me the name pronounced properly.
Okay, Ocurro da Parra. Okay, Ocurro da Parra restaurant is. First of all, is the name of this small street, okay? This is called Rua do Curro da Parra, no? In Galician language, so it means Curro da Parra Street. Curro da Parra, there are two Galician words. Curro is like a stone ring, okay? Stone ring, where people in the past here in Galicia used to keep the wild horses and cut the hair, no? How you call it? The mane, yeah? Used to cut the mane, so to domesticate it, okay? So this is more a round stone circle. It's called curro, okay? And parra is the vine, no? The plant of the wine, okay? So apparently here in front of this 19th century house used to be a curro, okay? A small curro covered with a parra. So that's for that is. This is curro da parra, no?
Now, this is almost, I guess, the end of the tourist season, but you have very many tourists. Who actually comes to your restaurants, and what do you do when it's winter and there are no more pilgrims or tourists?
Yes, as you well said, there are 6 months, from April till October, more or less, that 80% of our clientele are tourists, okay? Pilgrims or tourists. National or international, but always people from outside Galicia, no? But, which is very grateful, no? That people from abroad can to see you, no? But during the winter, which is very long as well, the other 6 months of the year is very hard to survive, no? It's very hard nowadays to have a business and try to do it well, no? So obviously you work with local people, but nowadays is very because of the credit crunch, you know, because of the crisis, it's not easy. During the week, it's very quiet, no? So there are 3 days on the week, from Friday to Sunday, that you have to do all you didn't do during the week, no? So it's what to do, and if not, you always have to plenty to try to improve, no? Or try to invest on your website, on promotion, or on local, on your own place.
The thing that I find so interesting about Santiago de Compostela is that for centuries now we've had pilgrims, also maybe known as today as tourists, come to this place, certainly to see the cathedral and other wonderful pilgrimage sites. But there is about, for example, you and your restaurant, a great sense of authenticity. How do you do that?
Well, we always try to do our best, no? Try to look after very well the customers, no? It's normal, no? It's what we have to do, no? It's true that we have very good reviews in internet, okay, on websites like TripAdvisor or this kind of website. So it's very helpful, no? People from abroad, most of them, they come because of these websites, no? And then always, you call boca a boca in Spanish, you know, people talk about you. Yeah. So it's always good to, it's what you do, no? Try to look after very well your customers and that's it.
But I mean, everything seems very authentic, like the real deal. Entiende?
That's because what I was saying at the beginning. The place is a 19th century house. The food is a local food. We have very good stuff. We just need to sell it and try to do your best on the dining room and on the kitchen, no? First on the kitchen and then on the dining room, on the table with the customer, no?
There are different areas for eating. You could come in downstairs and just have the bar and tapas, and upstairs is the restaurant. Tell us about that.
Yes, it's true. We have two areas, we can say, in our restaurant, no? Very small both, but downstairs, okay, we have a show kitchen, okay, where we can do tapas, okay. It's a more informal place, okay, it's tapas bar, okay. And down upstairs is like a restaurant, very small and cozy restaurant, okay. We have you can eat more a la carte, okay, more like a starter and main courses, okay, but always very look after cuisine, no.
Now, this is a small place, and it gets full very quickly, so I think that you should recommend for the restaurant, obviously, to have a reservation before arriving, but I think you can walk in with the risk of being disappointed downstairs, because it is very popular. In fact, I have read where it's the best restaurant in Santiago. Tell us, would you please, what did we eat today, because we had a very splendid meal.
Okay, so we had first at all with seafood, no? Which is, Galicia is very well known because of the seafood. So we tried to do, as I said at the beginning, a funny touch, okay? So we try a white crab. We usually, boil it, we break it, we open it, and we eat it, no? But this is the traditional, no? White crab. Instead of, we peel it, okay? So, and then we cook it with avocado mousse, okay? Avocado mousse and cucumber, okay? So white crab, cucumber, and avocado mousse. Then we try some green salad with local baby vegetables, okay? Hazelnut crumbs, and
I want to tell you, the presentation is wonderful because the baby carrots grow right up out of the greens. It's such a great presentation.
Thank you. It looks like a garden, no? And some orange vinegar, okay? So you always have to offer like a vegetable dish, okay, on your menu, or like a salad. So that's what we do, no? What we offer. After, we try some bechamel sauce and hand croquettes. Okay, it's a traditional, not only Galician cuisine, Spanish dish, okay, traditional Spanish dish, but it's one of our best sellers, we can say, okay, it's very, very.
And there's ham in that, which not all croquettes have, huh? I want you to explain this Galician bread, the crusty bread is so wonderful, and tell us a little bit about the olive oil as well.
Yes, we already had a strong Galician bread, which is the only thing we don't do in this restaurant. Okay, the bread, but we bring from a local bakery. Okay, in the outskirts of Santiago. Okay, and we also try some Galician olive oil, which is made in the southeast, okay, in the province of Orense, in a small region called Monterrey Valley. Okay, Val de Monterrey is in the border with Portugal, okay? It's Monterrey Valley and Serra do Sures, okay? It's a natural park, you say? Yeah? Natural reserve, yeah? Natural reserve, which is half in Galicia and half in Portugal, okay? So, and it's called Eidos de Iria, this olive oil, okay? Very smooth olive oil. Okay?
Now, for fish, when I got my fish dish, I said to you, oh, how very trendy, because the new color of food is black. And what did I have with my salt baked cod?
Yes, and again we try to do a traditional Galician dish, which is the cod, okay, very popular in Galicia, but we try to do something different. So it's a fresh cod, okay, baked, which with green asparagus and black celery puree. It's black because we cook within of the squid. Okay. And then we had some for meat. We try Galician pork belly. Okay, this is a pork belly is a very very British dish. No, probably from our past. No, our times in London. We use Galician pork. Okay, the pork in Galicia is like a shake. You say sacred animal? How you call it? Sacred animal? No, with everything. Okay, from ears, nose, mouth. Okay, cheeks. Okay, tail. So we try to do a pork belly. Okay, with a tomato chutney and parsley potato mash. Okay.
Peter said it's the best mashed potatoes he's ever had, including my mother's, which is sacrilege.
Finally, we had some Galician beef, okay? This is probably the only thing that we don't buy here in the local market, okay? This meat we bring from Lugo province, okay? From Lugo province, as in the east of Galicia. It's a very... Yeah, near here, yeah, 100 kilometers from Santiago, okay? It's all madurated, as you say, all madurated cow, yeah? It's the cow, yeah? It's like big Basque chefs, they come to Galicia to buy the beef, yeah? Because, and they say this is the best, no? Even better than the Kobe, no? But, you know, it's always... You know, it's always we can open a big discussion, you know, about the topic.
Well, I love the beef. It was so flavorful, and it was cooked just right, rare as I like it. But I have to tell you that I want those potatoes for breakfast. Please tell us how you made these three times cooked potatoes.
Yeah, it's a kind of deluxe or French fries. But more elaborated, no? We call triple cooking potatoes, no? Triple cooking chips, no? So it's boiled, okay? Roasted and fried, okay? So there are the triple cooking.
And Peter is going to ask you questions about the wine, which he loved. We had wonderful wines.
Well, most of the world knows Galician wines as one white grape-based wine called Albarino. We discovered that this is only the beginning of the wine story. So apparently there are three white wine varieties that are common here, and then red wine, which I think nobody associates with Galicia. So tell us what it was we tried.
Yes, we have tried today a wine called Gaba do Xil, okay? The grape is Godello, okay? It's a white grape, typical from the east of Galicia, okay? Or mainly typical from the east, and typical from the wine regions called Valdeorras and Monterrey, okay? Two small wine regions in on the southeast of Galicia, Okay, it's Gaba do Xil. And then we try one red wine called Sainas, and again in the province of Lugo. Okay, and it's on the Mencia is the grape. They are on the shores of the Miño River. Okay, so it's as Peter said, Galicia is very well known because of the white wines, but nowadays they are doing very well in red wines as well. Okay, they are usually very soft and fruity wines, so nothing to do with Ribera del Duero or Rioja wines. Okay, they are very different. They are usually very soft and fruity wines.
Okay, the logistics of getting a reservation at this restaurant. Here's what I did. I read about Okura de Para, and various sources said this is the best restaurant in Santiago de Compostela, so that's easy. Not so easy is how do I find out how we get a reservation? The answer is you click on, you email reservers at, I'm going to have Sergio spell out the email address because it's got lots of C's and R's and P's in it. And in addition, we are going shortly to look at another property that you own. So let's quickly get those into the recording as well. So first of all, how do people get a reservation here on the internet and then the other place?
Yes, well, if you want to come to Curro de Parra, just go to our website, www.ocurrodaparra.com. Okay, I spell Okurro de Parra. It's OCURRADAPARRA. Okurro de Parra. Just have a look in our website for contact us. Okay, you can click on contact us. You can write us an email. Okay, and the email address is reservas@ocurrodaparra.com. Okay, reservas is reservas at ocurrodaparra.com. Okay, very easy for Spanish people. Okay, and as Peter said, just 1.5 years ago, we opened another restaurant close by in the heart of Abastos Market. It's called Café de Altamira. It's hotel plus restaurant, okay? Small hotel, only 16 rooms, okay? 16 rooms, but with a lovely restaurant on the ground floor, okay? And we're gonna have a look now, okay?
Sergio, I look forward to staying at this new hotel the next time we're here, and of course I will eat at both this place and your new place the next time that we're in Santiago. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I think we forgot to mention the service is right on the dot and perfect. You've done a wonderful job. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Pleasure. It's our pleasure to, and you are all of you very welcome to Santiago, to Curro de Parra and Café de Altamira. Okay? Thank you very much.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Did we mention that the previous interview and the lunch was set up within 24 hours by exchange of email? I can't remember if we did, but that's how it was done. But our last interview for the day is even more serendipitous because we were sitting with a large group of people for dinner during part of the Gastronomica celebrations and talking about how we were going to return on the rest of our journey, passing through the province of Asturias, where we'd never been to before either, and a voice piped up across the table, "My restaurant's in Asturias. Why don't you come by on your way?" So that's how we established contact with Marcos Moran, whose restaurant has been in his family for 5 generations, since about 1880. So we figured, well, if it's been there since 1880, it must be pretty good. And indeed, it turned out it was. So here's Marcos.
For years now, actually, I don't know Marcos Moran, if I ever told you this, but we've dreamed of coming to Asturias. We have a very good friend who's from here and his father who got special sausages for us. We dreamed of this, and now here we are at your restaurant called Casa Gerardo. I'm looking forward to your telling us a little bit about your restaurant, your menu, your traditions. You are, it's hard to believe, the fifth generation of owners. So that's what, great, 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 great grandfather.
Yeah, something like that. A lot of people involved in the history of our restaurant, and now me with 35 years and a lot of years for working, I think so.
Well, but you started very young, although you did say you had a little time off when you were 17, going supposedly to university in Madrid, but actually having wonderful parties. But then you came back, and I'm sure you've been working hard ever since. Tell us where exactly we are.
We're in Asturias, in the center of Asturias, a little part of the north of Spain, close to Galicia, close to País Vasco. And in Asturias, we are in Prendes, a little village of 100 people close to Gijón, and in 80 kilometers to Cantabrico Sea.
I'm very excited to be sampling your menu because you gave one of the most interesting presentations at Gastronomico, and it had to do with something that's become very, very important in the culinary field, which is honesty. What did you mean by saying that we had to be honest with our food?
The thing that I explained there is for other jobs in other specialties, I think it's very normal. But in gastronomy, maybe a couple of years ago, we forgot where we are in a couple of years. Now everybody make fantastic things, but anyone remember which is the start of this plate, who chef starts the idea? And I explain about the young chef must know that all the things come from something, an idea, something other chef, something other kind of things. And when you go to a client and explain, okay, this is a good place, but 5 years ago I was in San Francisco and I eat in a little restaurant called La La La, and it's fantastic. And with that idea, it doesn't matter. The client love to you is your only idea, but your honesty is in this part. You must be honest with your work. You must be honest with your ideas. And I think now in the world we use a lot the same ideas more or less, but only 10, 5, 12, I don't know how many, people create that kind of things. It doesn't matter if I don't create nothing. I'm alive, I'm good, best or worst chef, but create is not the important thing. Cook good is the important thing. If you don't create nothing, it doesn't matter. You must be a very good chef. You must be the best chef. Don't create nothing. Only be honestly, work hard, and always remember where the ideas come.
Your English is not horrible. I think you're known for carrying on traditions while at the same time keeping all the antennas open to a contemporary sensibility. You can see it in this restaurant, which is truly beautiful. We are in a chef's table room, a private room, glass, looking right in the middle of your kitchen, looking out in these wonderful contemporary chairs. You balance two worlds in a way, maybe even more than two worlds.
Yeah, more than two words, but really our two main words are avant-garde and tradition. And we don't know where we are. We don't know if we are traditional or we are avant-garde or something like that. We are very comfortable in contemporary world. I always explain that we cook contemporary cuisine. My grandmother cooked contemporary cuisine in 50s, and now me in the 21st century. I always, when I read the recipes of my grandmother or so far, always in the in our house have a special sensibility for make things little modern, little new. But in 50s, the new things in 50s now are classics. If I have a son, if my son want to be a chef, the things that that today I called avant-garde, he will see like cool things. Yes, and it's very, it doesn't matter what is modern, what is traditional. The main thing is the food is in this moment. You don't eat old things. Old things I don't like. I like traditional things, but no old things. It isn't the same. It's like the cars. You can buy a classic car, but not an old car. An old car don't drive. A classic car can be, yeah, no va. A classic car can be fantastic, and all the things into the car can be modern. But you look a classic car. You can look a Cadillac, but all the things into the Cadillac is new. And you look a Cadillac from 50s. It's like this. I want to have a restaurant with clients of all the ages. I like to have childs. I like to have young people. I like to have old people. It doesn't matter. I have options for everybody.
Now, I mean, I look around and I see you have a very thoughtful, I would say, art collection. You are interested in visual things. Does that translate into your presentations, or are you not bothered by that?
Yes, sometimes. Yes, sometimes. Sometimes the inspiration, a lot of times I heard to Juan Mari Arzak, a lot of times say that you must look the world like a child. A lot of time, Juan Mari explained this, and it's true. And it's true. It's like I explained you that you must look the things as the first time. It's like this. Obviously, the text. I like the textures, the beauty things, and maybe 2 or 3 years since now, we are very involved in give dishes little beautiful. First of all, the flavor, the first thing. But then, if the plate come with a pretty view, with colors, with ideas, with more or less a script, I like a lot. The menu have a nice script. It's very difficult for me when I go to a restaurant, taste a different nice place, but without a script. I didn't like, because I think how many chefs are in the kitchen. I like the script.
You and Massimo Bottura have the same idea about the story. That's a good opportunity for us to talk about the different ways to eat in your restaurant. Could you explain to our listeners the different opportunities, from a la carte to tasting menus? What are your choices?
When you come to our house for FaceTime, you have two different options. First of all, eat a la carte, as you say, that you have four different parts in the menu. Oysters from Asturias, that is a special product that 5-6 years ago start to hear a very good quality of oysters. Then a little part of share of the table for, you know, as jamón and traditional starters. And then we have two parts in the menu. One part, 10 plates looking to tradition, but we'll explain that the dishes are dishes with importance in the restaurant, that this includes in the menu since years. not at all of them are really traditional, but are traditional for us. Maybe have 10 years, 8 years, 20 years, or in the house. Another part that we called Tendices Contemporary, that in that part we show our most modern cuisine. And the other way is to eat one of our two taste menu. The main important menu is the menu Prendes, the name of the village. We explain the script as 25 steps to express that we mean Asturias contemporary cuisine. It's a way, it's a trip from all the products, from all the concepts that we mean is important for that moment in the gastronomy of Asturias. And we express with steps, college in the school, the short way between two points is the line. Okay, but you can do the line fast or slow. We prefer do it slow. We don't like run, we prefer walk. And when you walk, you make steps. When you run, you don't make steps. And for us it's so particular explaining that we like to make step by step. We have 132 years. We are not hurry. We have all the time is for us because we have a lot of time back. And with that idea, we will do a book next year called 50 Steps of Asturias Contemporary Cuisine. And it's a history book about our family, about our cuisine. And we will do with Montagut, the editorial people who make very, very good, nice books of gastronomy. For me, the best books of gastronomy. They made the book of Eneko Acha, Joan Roca, and we are very proud to make this book next year.
Now, our listeners are always interested in specifics. Could you pick out 2-3 dishes from this menu that you would like to explain in detail, your ideas behind it and the different elements in the dish?
It's very difficult for a chef to choose 1, 2, or 3. This is because you know that one dish is one son. And sometimes the dish that I love today, in 4 days, I said that it's rubbish, you know. Sometimes it's like this. But I think that a whole view of our house can be with 3 or 4 dishes. Obviously, the most traditional dish of our house is fabada. Our restaurant is very, very famous in Spain and out of Spain because we have a very nice fabada. Fabada, a traditional stew of white bean. Fabada is a traditional stew of white bean and pork, with the particularity that the pork is little smoked. It's a very traditional, it's a very strong stew. But in our house, since years ago, my grandmother and my father clean all the extra fat and make a very flavor, authentic, and soft stew with the fabada. I think that it's very important that the people who come here first time, they need to eat fabada, because in fabada are the 132 years of our house. This is maybe the most traditional thing. And our last thing, if you will see the demo in Gastronomica, was the cocochas. You know, cococha is the tongue of the hake, that we make. Starting think about two of the ways to work with traditional cocochas are in green sauce, en salsa verde, and other way are in pilpil, in emulsion. Yeah, and we make a mix. We make cocochas with a little peel of green sauce. Make it an emulsion of the head of the hake. We have all the hake. We catch the tongue, and with the other part of the hake, chin oil, confit, and low temperature, and make a emulsion, a peel with the turmix. We make a mayonnaise, a hot mayonnaise. The green part, we use it plankton, the product who created Angel León in the south of Spain in Aliente. Angel is a very good friend of mine. We are working with him 3 years ago with the plankton, because when he discovered this, he gave to me because both make kitchen from the sea, but we work with different seas. He worked with Atlantico in Tarifa, and I work with Cantabrico in the north, south and north. And it's very special. Look how can a different chef can use a different product. And we make this cococha that you will taste in a moment. And maybe other, our cuisine is have two or three MacGuffin, two or three important MacGuffin, you know, important points, important products. One of these is the red mullet. We love the red mullet of that part of Cantabrico. Are very, very big, very strong. The flavor is like shellfish, because the red mullet eat little shellfish, eat a lot of special plankton, and the flavor is very, very hard, very special, with a lot of fat, a lot of natural fat. And all the years we do a different plate with red mullet. This year we mix the red mullet with oriental thing, with soy textures, with a miso cream, different purees of old soys, and the oil bean in the iron, and we make a mix with red mullet and soy textures, and you today can be taste the last sardine of the year, because sardine. Yeah, in Spain, in the north of Spain, only have sardine three months, July, August, and September. But this year, in October, the sea give us sardines too. Maybe today is the last day. We make the sardine pickled of cucumber, but you can eat the cucumber raw, but with all the flavor, with raw, the texture is raw, but the flavor is cooked as a escabeche, a pickled. Yes, with the sardine only confited, we rip the thing with the red mullet, with all the fat, without maillard, you know, maillard, without maillard, because with the fish that have so special DNA in the skin, so special little first millimeter of fat, we thought that if you put in the grill, sometimes we, make all the fishes wallets the same, and with that kind of low temperature cook, you always eat whatever you want.
With all of this, of course, I mean, you're sitting in a country that is becoming very, very famous for wine, and I wanted to ask you, do you have an interesting wine program matching the wines from this region particularly?
I'm a strange thing because I don't drink alcohol, nothing. I don't know why. Not now. Eh? When I was young. When I was younger, I drink a lot, but now I don't drink a lot. I always said that the wine part of the gastronomy is very important. It's not so important in all the restaurant. I think that it's not necessary to make a pairing with plate. Wine. In our menu, we have 25 steps. If I give you 25 wines, you are deaf in the 12. I understand that if you go to Celler de Can Roca with Pitu Roca, maybe the best sommelier in the world, and you need to prove more things. But for us, we prefer 3-4 wines. Not so high of alcohol, and is appearing with all the menu. And if you like, for us, we prefer only one. Obviously, champagne, I think, is the best thing with all the meals. And this, but we have a special sommelier that I can present you now, and they can explain you. But he thinks the same. Sometimes it's not necessary to drink 7, 8, 9 kind of wines, because sometimes in the 6, your paladar are full, not drunk, full, and you don't taste nothing. And I think that in the brain, for me, it's impossible to have attention for 25 plates and 10 wines. For me, it's impossible. I know that some people love this. Fantastic for him, but not for me.
One last question. I see on your chef's jacket that you have Prendes. You also have Shanghai. Tell me about that. What do you do?
Because we have one of the, we was one of the restaurant choice to represent Spain in the expo of, this is the jacket of the expo of Shanghai in 2010, I think, see, 2010, in 2010, in Shanghai, and we worked there 15 days.
Yeah. So you're not opening another restaurant? anyhow, you seem...
Yeah, we have other restaurant, really. We have a restaurant in the city of London. Yes, called Hispania. Hispania, the biggest restaurant of Spanish gastronomy out of Spain. 1,000 meters, very big. We have experience of Spanish food in the center of the city of London. And we have there a very nice project since 1.5 years ago. Yeah.
Well, you are one busy man, Marcos Moran, and I thank you for talking to us about it. And you seem to be very well organized, but I think a crowd is about to descend on you on this fine day. And I look forward to sampling your cuisine. Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you for coming. And maybe next year in Gastronomica, we'll see you again.
So, listeners, we hope you'll find your way to these wonderful establishments when you're in Spain. Make a special trip if you must. And in the meantime, we'll be taking off in another direction next week, same time, same place. So join us then, if you will. And until then,
bye-bye.